We looked at last Sunday how, verse 14, he said how the Lord had blotted out the handwriting of ordinances against us. They were contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, with Hebrews 10. Jewish laws were very strict, our Lord's law for the Jews. It still is. And the law is a declaration of God's holy character and the principles of holiness, perfect holiness, purity, mercy, principles of mercy in the law, truth. Paul said this about the law. He says, the commandment is holy, just, and good. Nothing wrong with God's law. Everything right. But Romans, Paul, through the book of Romans, he's the one that wrote Colossians. Well, God had him right. But Romans tells us, especially, that the law was given because of sin. To show us, Paul said, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The holiness, justice, goodness of God. But our sin against him. To reveal sin. It was never given, the law was never given to save. Not meant for a person to try to keep it to be saved. Paul said, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. It's evident because we can't. And Paul said the law is spiritual, meaning it requires perfection in thought, in word, as well as deed, but in motive, a pure heart, a perfect motive. And we're sinners. The law, Paul says, the schoolmaster. Schoolmaster, teach us something. Point us to Christ. That's what Paul said. And we're all lawbreakers. God's people don't want to be, but we are, and we're guilty. And so the law tells us, go to Christ. Go to Christ. He's your righteousness. And we're accepted in him. Meaning, God accepted everything he did for us. Isn't that wonderful? Hebrews 10, verse 9, it says, Christ, this is... was written of Christ in the psalm, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. That's what Christ came. And he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. You see, we're not under the law. Thank God. We're under grace. Grace. So someone says, so we can break the law. No. No. Mm-mm. No. But we do. We do. And it grieves us. The Jews today are under, have 600, if somebody knows what they're talking about, 613 laws they're supposed to keep. That they get from the Old Testament. 613 laws, 7 feast days, and 4 holidays. Holiday means holy day. There's no holy day. Feast days, we don't observe those anymore. We feast every Lord's Day on the body of Christ. You can't believe some of the restrictions they have. Kosher, you've heard of kosher. You bought any pickles lately? Are they kosher? What does that mean? Here's just a few. You cannot eat meat and dairy together. And they got that from the scripture says, do not see the kid in his mother's milk. It's not, the Lord didn't say you can't eat dairy and meat at the same time. It was a law for humane purposes. It was cruel to kill a dam and the mother at the same time and seethe her in mother's milk. Just, the Lord's merciful. He takes care of animals. We're not to be like wild beasts, you know. Laws for eating blood means don't eat a raw meat. Don't be bloody people like dogs, you know, bare flesh. You got to wait 6 hours between eating meat or dairy. If you eat dairy, you got to wait 6 hours. Where did they get that? These are kosher laws. You can't eat meat and fish on the same plate. Having a different plate. You've got to wash. You can't eat meat with the same utensils you ate dairy with, no matter what. You got to wash everything. Wash, 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 wash. You remember that in Mark 7? The Lord said they just wash, 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 and wash, wash. Well, our Lord in great wisdom and mercy gave many laws to his people that had practical reasons for hygiene, cleanliness. Lived in a day where meat could go bad real fast. And he gave some laws for that reason. It wasn't meant to give life, to make you holy with God and pat you on the back. There's still some principles that are good. Absolutely, it's all good. But it's never were given for us to try to be righteous or more holy or save our souls. Not even a rule of life. It's not even our rule of life. Because you can't pick and choose. I know you know the Jews pick and choose like the German Baptists do, like the Amish do, whatever is convenient. Whatever they like. I like that. We can do that. We can cut our hair a certain way. Well, we can do that. Thank God we're not under the law. And all laws somehow are pictures and types to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did. Everything he did. Perfect. He lived according to the law. But I'll tell you right now, nothing wrong with the law. He lived perfectly according to love. He obeyed every jot and tittle. So I dare not, don't ever say anything against God's love. Christ lived according to. But not to show us how, but, well, yeah, it did require perfection. But no, he did it for us. We can't do it. Gentiles. When they sent letters, the church sent letters to the Gentiles. All they told them, don't eat meat with blood and trust the Lord and have a good day. Farewell. Again, there was a practical reason for that. But, alright, here, go back to Colossians 2. So he taketh away that all these things were against us, contrary to us. He nailed it all to the cross, kept perfectly, and all the broken law paid in full. That's what the ark picture did, Brother John. Inside the ark was the law, perfect, complete, not the broken one that Moses dashed down, said, you people just broken the law. Cast it on the ground. God said, right, two more. Put it in that ark and put the lid on it. Don't keep it intact. That's Christ. In Christ, we've kept the law. There's also a mercy seat with it, covered with blood. He paid for every law we broke. That's Christ, our mercy seat. Been wanting to preach on the mercy seat lately. Maybe we will. All right, so now, didn't you love that, how he spoiled principalities, made a triumph over them? Verse 16, now let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or a Sabbath day. There's a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Let no man judge you what you eat, drink. We're not under those laws anymore. And go to Romans 14, Romans chapter 14. And remember our Lord said, mainly to the Jews who took such great pride and were so full of self-righteousness because they did not eat certain things. Remember, he said, not what goes in your mouth defiles you. No meat is going to defile your soul. No drink is going to damn you. That's what he said. And it shocked them. It offended them. You mean all these years we've gone without pork and it didn't avail us anything? Nothing. Might have kept you from getting sick. It was spoiled meat. But it didn't keep your soul from going to hell. He said, it just goes out in a draft. He said, what's on the inside already is what defiles you. And you can't do anything about that. Who can? Only one person. Got to give you a new heart. Romans 14, Paul dealt with this. Look at verse 14. He said, verse 11. As I live, don't have time. Look at verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there's nothing unclean of itself. Nothing. Nothing. Whatever it is, nothing. It's man that abuses that. You're not going to throw away ropes because people hang themselves. Back before modern medicine, before modern painkillers, there was one thing that they had to relieve the pain. What? White lightning or something. A man about to get his arm cut off in the Civil War. Thank God for whiskey. But just because people abuse it, get drunk on it, they'll throw it away. As it's, God allowed it. And it's people that abuse that. It's nothing, there's no sin in a bottle or a box. If it was, that means we could just do without it and be without sin. It's in here. My dad used to say, man, it's not a drunk because he drinks. He drinks because he's a drunk. The bottle didn't make him do that. He willingly, his fleshly desire, abused it. You see, it's nothing unclean of itself. See that? That's what he said. But now, hold on a minute. Verse 15. If your brother be grieved with thy meat, don't do it. This is the principle, too. It says in verse 21, verse 20, for meat, destroy not the work of God. That is, it's the kingdom of God, not meat and drink anyway. Righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. He said, all things indeed are pure, but it's evil for that man who eats it with offense. I have liberty. I don't care what you think. Don't do that. Verse 21, is it good neither to eat flesh, drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbled or offended or is made weak? If you have faith, verse 22, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So, you have liberty, have it to yourself, but not to abuse it. Don't have liberty to abuse it. So, we'll go back to our text. And Paul's the one that wrote that. And, Paul said, I would you were like me, unmarried. Paul was unmarried. He never got married. So some people in 1 Timothy 4, it says that they'll forbid to marry in the latter days. This is Roman Catholicism, celibacy. Nuns and monks and abstaining from certain meats and all that. He said, no, these things would be given thanks for. Marriage is holy, Paul wrote. The bed's undefiled. Simon Peter was married with her. But Paul said, I would, because he that is married careth for how he may please his wife. He that's not married, for how he may please the Lord. And so if he said, I would you were like me, but if you're not, if God didn't give you that strength, Mary, it's good, it's fine, it's Lord created. So, and people make religions out there and make holiness out of this. And they self-righteous. Look at me. I've forsaken everything. If righteousness come, here's how serious it is. If righteousness come by the law, us doing or not doing anything, Christ died in vain. That's how serious it is. Paul said, that's what I thought. He said, I was blameless. I was so pleased with myself. I didn't know God was not pleased with me. And I found out. And the law came. It killed me. Showed me what it required. It just slew me. And it slew my heart and my conscience thinking what I'd done. Paul said, I'm so glad the Lord's pleased with his righteousness. He said, I'm so glad. If he'd given me what I earned, the wages I've earned, what I'd worked, God would have sent me to hell. In religion, abstinence, celibacy, he had gone straight to hell. Because it shall be perfect to be accepted. You see how Christ came and nailed it to the cross? Perfect. So he said, let no man judge you. Look at verse 16, Sabbath days. Oh, now, hold on, preacher. Sunday's our Sabbath. No, it is not. There's no day, certain day, that's a holy day. Every day really is the day the Lord made, isn't it? We worship the Lord every day. No, we call this the Lord's Day because, well, listen. Our Lord was in the grave on Saturday. On purpose. He was dead on the Sabbath day. Why? Showing us we're dead to the law. And he arose the first day of the week. Alive. And so he told us after that the New Testament. New Covenant. Not the law. Under the law of Christ, the royal law, he said. Now on the first day of the week, like I rose, and I given you new life, on the first day of the week, meet together and worship me who rose. And he quickened together with him. But don't make a holy day out of it. Don't make a law out of it. He never said, now, don't you work a day on, don't you cut your grass on Sunday. Don't you dare. He never said that. In fact, Christ said, I'm your Sabbath. I'm the Lord. The Sabbath was a day of rest. No day. Your soul can't rest on a day. Christ is our rest. Christ is our Sabbath. Hebrews 4 is very plain about that. He that hath ceased from his own works, as God ceased from his works, and everything complete and finished, we've ceased from our works, and we look to Christ, our Sabbath, our rest. That's what that means. All right, verse 17. These things are a shadow, you see, things to come. The body is Christ. Christ, our Sabbath, came. Verse 18. So let no man beguile you. This clearly tells us that false prophets and apostles and false doctrines and false religion, it already begun back then. It already started way back then. Roman Catholicism came from the church at Rome. Paul wrote that letter to the church at Rome. What happened? Shortly after he said to the Ephesians, the Spirit of God has told me that as soon as I'm gone, false brethren are going to creep in. It's going to happen. John said, even now, there are many antichrists. Our Lord said it. Many false prophets are gone out in the world. And now more than ever. So let no man beguile you, trick you, judge you. Verse 18, I love this. In a voluntary humility. Humility is not voluntary. I'll be humble. And And I know the scripture says humble yourself, and we're told to do that, but a person is made humble by God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the gospel of God, by the power of God. You can't make yourself humble. Humbling ourselves means take your rightful place. Put yourself down. But it's like that man, that self-righteous man came home to his wife and he said, "Behold, woman, I've overcome my pride." That's a voluntary humility. I've decided to be humble. And that's what people do when they dress certain ways and all that. And it's a show. It's all a show. That's what the Pharisees did. They like to be seen with the wrong robes and fasting. Oh, you must be fasting. You look sad. It's a show. Worshipping of angels. Boy, if all this is not Roman Catholicism, what is it? Worshipping of angels, dead saints. One time John in Revelation fell down at the feet of the angel to worship him. And he said, don't do that. Get up. He said, whoever it was one of his brethren. It might have been James. It might have been his very brother. Stand up, John. I'm just like you. Don't worship me. Worship God. Worshipping of angels. Intrude any of those things which he hath not seen. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You see, the minding of the flesh. If I can just do this, if I can just do that, if I can just not do this and not do that, I'll be holy. That's minding the flesh. That's thinking. That's carnal. It's carnal minding. It's enmity against God. Why is that? Because Christ came. That's why Christ came, to condemn sin in his flesh. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh. Don't let any man tell you. I don't worry about that for you people. I really don't. You've heard the gospel enough. I really. But we can be impressed with. I remember going to preach in a meeting for years in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And these fellows said they were not reformed, but they sure gave every appearance of it. And one man, before he preached, he would drop down on his knees behind the pulpit. It's a show. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm not that pious or whatever. Oh, he seems so broken. It's a show. He said, don't do it. Fasting. Let's take fasting, for instance. The Lord never said, do without that. Did he? He said, when you fast. When you fast. Don't be like the Pharisee who they want to be seen. They want everybody to know what they're doing. Lent. Or have you given up shaving? Oh, what a sacrifice. What makes me want to cuss? You want to sacrifice? Christ hung on the cross. That's a sacrifice. Blasphemy, those sort of things. People are ignorant. I know they're ignorant. I'd rather Catholic come here than a Southern Baptist. Go figure that out. But anyway, puffed up, vainly puffed up. Not verse 19. Not holding the head. Who's the head? See, you right now take everything that your body does come from your head, right? Everything you do, your head controls it. Your head is your glory per se, not the body. Without the head, the body's dead. Right? And all of us are pretty much clothed, except our head. We don't cover it up. Why? That's Christ. We're here to hold up the head. The body has one purpose, to hold up the head, to exalt the head. Because from the head we get everything. Everything comes from the head. Our hands act, are made willing by the head. That's Christ. And all right, religion, Roman Catholicism, they worship the church. Don't they? Members, dead saints. We don't worship church members. We worship the head. We hold up the head, not the body. We don't worship the body. We worship the head. See, all, verse 19, all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministry, knit together, increasing with the increase of God. The head, everything comes from the head. From which, you see that? From which all the body. And Paul went in detail about members of the body, all have their purpose, but we don't glorify one over another. We glorify the head. And every member has its purpose. But no member can glory. The mouth can't say, look at me, look at me, little toe. No. It's a head. We worship the head. So now verse 20, look at this. If you be dead with Christ, we're going to look at that in chapter 3. I can't wait. You're dead. Your life is hid. Woo! Isn't that good news? With Christ in God. If you be dead with Christ, up in verse 11 through 13 talks about crucified with Christ, buried with him. Verse 13, you being dead in your sins, quickened together. But we were crucified with Christ from the rudiments, elements of the world. He says, now why then? As though living in the world are you subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. Why are we subject to the commandments and doctrines of men? Christ didn't tell us any of that. But he took it away. He fulfilled it. He nailed it to the cross. He said, you're not under it. He said, You take your commandments, Christ said. You take your commandments from me. Whatever I tell you, do. But not to be saved. Out of love to me. Admiration of me. And so these things are going to perish, all these things. And in verse 23, I close. He said, these things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Paul one time did say, I keep my body under subjection. And the reason he said things like this was to tell us that it's good to mortify your members. We ought to, we need to. You remember scriptures, Solomon said, if your appetites, put a knife to your throat if your appetite's too heavy. Don't do it. And on, our Lord said, take heed to yourself now that you're not drunkenness and surfeiting and all of that. And our Lord told us these things. These things come on the whole world and people are absolutely consumed with it. Don't be consumed. Don't be consumed with that. It'd be a good thing not to do. Our Lord didn't eat much. He didn't sleep much. He was very moderate. His moderation was known. He was not overcome by anything. He didn't live for food and drink. And he said, let your moderation be known, your temperance and all these things, but not for show. And he says, some people, there's wisdom and neglecting the body, but not for show. No. That's showing people you're worshiping your own will. I have willpower, you don't. I've overcome this, you haven't.
No, no.
So he's saying, don't do anything for show. Don't do anything for show. Humility's good. We shouldn't live to satisfy our flesh, should we? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. But now hold on. You know, that's between you and God. Don't walk around and act like, look at me. Oh no. Look to Christ. That's where we look. We want people looking at us. We're gonna fail. If we do, we're gonna fail right before their eyes. Amen. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. This sums it up. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believeth. Believeth. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Period. You know what comes after that? Period. Okay.